Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's time for our weekly tour Inside the Ring. That is, of course, the title of the prize-winning column by our guest, Bill Gertz. He is also senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon and the author of 7 best-selling books, including most recently Eye Wars, War and Peace in the Information Age. Bill is a prolific contributor to our understanding of what is going on both inside the Pentagon and more generally in the national security space. It's always a privilege to have him with us. Bill, welcome back. It's good to talk with you.
Hi, Frank. Good to reconnect after a few weeks.
It has been too long. Let me ask you, Bill, you've been writing a lot of late about China, and as always, very helpfully so. Give us a flavor quickly of what the intelligence leaders told the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence earlier this week about the threat from China abroad and, well, for that matter, here at home.
Yeah. First off, I reported in the Free Beacon about a Chinese conglomerate worth about $100 billion called HNA, which has been on a huge buying spree in the United States, literally buying companies as a way to gain influence and access to U.S. markets. And I reported that the Treasury Department was getting ready to impose sanctions on this conglomerate for basically lying to a special National Security Committee that oversees these kind of foreign purchases. So that's good news on the one hand. The Trump administration has been under pressure from Congress to do just that with what's called the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., basically to strengthen its capabilities, add personnel, resources, so that it can prevent China from buying up these critical industries. And then a day after the story ran, the intel chiefs for the annual threat briefing appeared before the Senate and addressed this problem, including the Chairman Burr of the Senate Intelligence Committee, who said that he's very concerned about Chinese purchases of American companies and the need to be more vigilant. And that drew a response from both the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, as well as the FBI Director, who for the first time in long memory actually referred to the China threat, which was the title of my 2000 book on the same problem.
Indeed. Let me ask you about one thing that came up that has not gotten nearly the attention it seems to me it deserves. Generally, that's true of the whole counterintelligence portfolio, Bill, as you know, but specifically, an operation that the Chinese government has been running in the United States now for many years is finally beginning to surface as a counterintelligence problem. Talk a little bit about these Confucius Institutes, Bill.
Yeah, this is based on my Washington Times Inside the Ring column this week, which focuses on testimony from FBI Director Wray, again, who called China a threat. He was asked by Senator Marco Rubio about these Confucius Institutes. And Rubio recently wrote a letter to 4 Florida universities and 1 high school telling them that they should break from these Confucius Institutes, which are operating as fronts for aggressive Chinese government influence operations on American campuses and even in schools. There's some 100 of these Confucius Institutes, and they're basically a Chinese government subterfuge to ostensibly teach language and culture, but in reality, they are promoting China's policies, which are, again, to replace the United States as the world's leading democratic power with a dictatorial socialist communist system.
And Bill, one of the things that you do better than just about anybody I know is understand the nature of influence operation. To the extent that we ignore these things, even if it's not actually a counterintelligence and subversion operation, it's just trying to turn kids in colleges against our own country, this is a problem. And I'm glad to hear the FBI is on the case. I hope they understand it well enough to actually be making sense of it. Speaking of not making sense of the Chinese threat, Bill, you wrote about Susan Thornton in your reporting at the Washington Free Beacon today. Tell us who she is and why on earth would the Trump administration be appointing her to a senior position responsible for this portfolio at the State Department?
Frank, this is a really important story. Susan Thornton is a career Foreign Service officer who was acting Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia and Pacific, the key foreign policy slot at the State Department. And she confirmed, again, under questioning from Senator Rubio, that the State Department was involved in a decision to block the FBI from arresting four Chinese security officials who are operating illegally in New York by pressuring a billionaire dissident. And she basically dissembled about the whole thing, first saying she didn't remember having any role in the decision, and then saying that she actually didn't take part in it. So she looks like she really misled the Senate about her role. And when she was, in fact, according to the Wall Street Journal and my reporting as well, she was the key official that was afraid that it would upset U.S.-China relations. Again, one of the most pro-China policymakers, she outlined all of her policies on China, which are identical to the policies of the Obama administration. So you've got to ask yourself, what's happening at the State Department? Has the swamp totally taken over?
Yeah. Well, look, it seems to me that it ought to be sufficient grounds to block her nomination to be the Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian Affairs that she is wrong on the policy. But to be compounding that by actually misrepresenting the facts in testimony before the Senate during her confirmation hearing should be a showstopper, it seems. I hope with your reporting on this bill and the word getting out through this channel, among others, that we can prevent this woman from getting a job that she seems clearly ill-suited to. Let me turn to one other topic that featured prominently in the threat assessment before the CISC over the past couple of days, Bill. Russia. And in particular, cyber threats emanating therefrom. We were talking earlier in the program with Hans von Spakovsky about what the Russians have been doing and what they may yet do to interfere with our elections. But talk more generally about what we know about Russian cyber operations against our country and how serious a threat they represent.
Well, Russia is engaged as one of the most aggressive states engaged in what we call hybrid warfare, which is military and strategic operations below the level of kinetic military conflict. And I disclosed in one of really important Washington Free Beacon column this week about the so-called Little Green Men. These are Russian mercenaries who took huge casualties from a U.S. airstrike in Syria. And basically what happened was these mercenaries have been sent undercover as kind of covert paramilitary forces to bolster the Assad regime's forces. And they tried to attack the Syrian Democratic Forces, the U.S.-backed forces. And General Mattis was having none of it and unleashed a massive three-hour bombing campaign that killed between 100 and 300 of these mercenaries. And I was just fortunate enough to have a briefing from the Ukrainian intelligence service chief who outlined the whole modus operandi of this private army called the Wagner Group. That's the nom de guerre of a Dmitry Utkin, who's a former Russian special forces guy who's running this thing, and it's totally funded by Russian intelligence. So I asked the Central Command about it, and the response was this was a tactical operation, and it should be a message to any other mercenaries that try to attack U.S.-backed forces.
But there was no question in your mind, Bill Gertz, from your reporting, that General Mattis and others in the chain of command knew full well they were taking on Russians in this operation.
It seems that way. In fact, the defense secretary said, we told the Russians that we were going to attack this area and ask them if they had any problems with it. This is part of the operational deconfliction communications link. And it put the Russians on the spot. If they were to say there are Russians there, it would confirm the official Russian backing for these mercenaries. So therefore, they had to take 200 casualties because they wanted to protect the deniability of these covert little green men.
Fascinating stuff, Bill. As always, thank you so much for your time and the great reporting you do as the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon and also as a columnist for the Washington Times. Thank you for your time today, and God bless you. Next up, we'll talk with one of your colleagues, Rowan Scarborough, about the latest on the dossier and more right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.